This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The people who are criticizing Islam and the reformists, they say, fine, call it whatever you want. But marriage under the age of 18 is barbaric. Corporal punishment, lashing or stoning or execution for apostasy. This is barbaric. So it's not just about wording, right? It's about the principle.
To hell with these people. They don't teach us our way of life, our deen. The way you put it, this is how Islamophobes like to put it. I believe in every dot, every word of Sharia. I don't believe in changing it or compromising on it or apologizing for it. Unashamedly, I want to address the point you raised on Twitter, and you asked a question whether I believe if Sharia is outdated, because I referred to some outdated practices. But if you read that tweet very carefully, I am making it very clear that Sharia, the law of Islam, is paramount. It cannot be changed. I believe in every single dot of it. I do not believe it can be changed. It can be altered. It can be removed. It can be canceled. I do not believe that. I believe every single dot of Sharia is applicable until the day of judgment. I don't care what people think of me. I don't care what people say, but this is what I believe in. With regards to the age issue, the young marriages, when I say outdated, I mentioned localities, that local customs. What local customs am I talking about? Where Muslims are living. The societies Muslims are living in, communities Muslims are living in. For example, we live in the West. Here, young marriages are outdated for over a century nearly, depending on where you are, because in some places, young marriages were outdated later. Okay, and I made it very clear that when you are in such localities or when you are with such people, you respect local customs. And this is something we learn from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the example of Aisha radiallahu anha, when the Prophet said, "Oh Aisha, if it wasn't for your people, I would have brought the door of the Kaaba down." So this is something the Prophet wanted to do, but because of cultural sensitivities, he didn't bring the door of the Kaaba down. He left it as it is, and it is the way it is today. Okay, so this is one of the examples I can cite where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam respected local sensitivities due to local customs. So what I'm saying is, it is absolutely not obligatory in Islam to marry young women. Okay, it's not. Okay, so when it is outdated in certain areas, in certain places of the world, we must respect those customs and not indulge in those practices, especially when they are not obligatory in Islam. So this is my point. I hope you're clear on that, that I believe every dot, not every word, every dot of Sharia is applicable until the day of judgment. No verse of the Quran, no authentic hadith of Rasulullah can be cancelled or can be challenged or can be put aside. This is what my staunch take is on this topic. So I hope this is clear from the get-go. So
yeah. So if I can just follow up on that. So I think the problem that some people had is that the word outdated. Because outdated is different than locality or local custom. Outdated means that, well, times have changed. And when it's times being changed, then it's not limited to one geographic region. So, okay, you have the West, different customs, but then you have that westernized culture has spread to many parts of the Muslim world. And many countries, Muslim countries, have also adopted like a minimum age of marriage of 18. And this is being adopted, it's being pressed by the United Nations, actually, an international law that all Muslim countries need to adopt a minimum age of at least 18. Some are saying even higher, like 21. So when you say outdated, it sounds like this is something that Muslims should adopt. Like, there's no obligation to marry below 18. So we should adopt these kinds of standards. And that's, I think, what people had a problem with. So what do you have to say to that line of thinking?
Well, you are incorrect about my take on this. I have just clarified that that's not what I think. I believe every word of Sharia is applicable. Every single authentic hadith is applicable until the day of judgment. So long as Muslims are on the planet Earth, we are to follow the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it cannot change under any circumstances. I do not care what the climate is, what the weather is, what the circumstances are, what the geopolitics are. I don't care. Sharia is completely applicable. Yes, there are certain, for example, there are certain principles of Sharia, maslaha and mafsada. For example, if you are in a society where you don't have to indulge in certain practices due to cultural sensitivities, we don't have to, because there's no obligation in Islam to do so. But salah, for example, can we leave salah if we happen to be in a culture that doesn't allow salah? Absolutely not. You have to make hijrah. You have to go somewhere you can actually make salah because it's obligatory to pray. So that's my position. You were incorrect about me when you pointed that out.
So we can, okay, so if I incorrectly said something, I apologize for that.
No problem.
Again, outdated. This is what I have a problem with. Like, I think that when we say outdated, it sends a certain message. It sends a certain idea or perception that Islamic practices. So if someone, and this is a media campaign against Muslims, they say that, oh, well, look at a country like Bangladesh, look at a country like Afghanistan, look at Sudan, look at Somalia. You have these girls who are in their teens, you know, they're 12, 13, 14, and they're getting married. This is evil. We have to ban this practice. This is an outdated practice. Muslims are outdated and their Sharia is outdated. Now, I'm saying, I understand you think that nothing like that can be taken out of the Sharia. This is what you're saying, right? So, but the term outdated, this is what I think will cause confusion.
This is a separate discussion. Cultural colonialism. When Western countries come to our countries and try to impose their culture on us, this is called cultural colonialism. I do not accept it. If a culture, if a community, if a society decides that they want to live by certain rules and those rules do not break the Sharia, for example, if it's a Muslim community living with freedom, that way they have the freedom to apply Sharia and they want to live by the rules of Sharia, no other culture has the right to impose their norms on that particular Muslim community. Because I believe Muslims should live by Sharia to the best of their abilities. Wherever they are, they must live by Sharia. But where they can't, for example, they cannot practice certain injunctions of Sharia, in those cases, you know, they are, ma'dur. They have udhr. Okay? As long as these are not obligations of Islam, for example, 5 daily prayers, okay? And things like that. So, again, to clarify, I do not believe that any dot, I'm not even saying a word or a sentence, I'm saying even a dot can be outdated from Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was talking about their customs when I said locals, when we should respect local customs. I meant wherever Muslims are living, if there are local customs, and there's nothing wrong with avoiding those local customs, Islamically speaking, then absolutely we have the ruksa. We are free to avoid those customs, to avoid controversy, to avoid, for example, problems. So
sure.
It's a very consistent position. This is the position ulama have advised. This is the position Muslims have been taking. And I'm very open about it. Okay, there's no hiding of my views here. I'm very open about my views, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So, I mean, I get attacked constantly, personally, because I also say things like the Sharia, 100%, this is applicable, this is the standard that we aspire to as Muslims, even if we, in a local circumstance, can't apply it because of laws or other circumstances. However, when it comes to the Sharia, we have to accept all of it. Now, then I get pressed. Then I get pressed and attacked. So, okay, Daniel, do you agree with minor marriage? Do you agree with the punishment, the had for apostasy? Do you believe that slavery is something that is sanctioned in the Quran? Do you agree with these practices? And I tell them, yes, actually. And I give my justification, I give my explanation, how their assumptions about these practices being barbaric are actually mistaken. It's coming from a liberal worldview that can easily be challenged and shown the inconsistency of. That's how I defend my claim that I believe in the Sharia fully. And you agree with this, right? You agree with these practices. You agree with anything in the Sharia says. So hudud, for example, hudud, minor marriage, all of these things, you're on the same page, right, basically?
I don't word it like that. The way you worded it, I think it's problematic. I never agreed with your wording in the first place when you started to be so blunt that it starts to look wrong. Because I can remember you using certain words and certain expressions to describe some of the Islamic principles. Just because you feel they can be described like that doesn't make it right. Okay, so I don't have to agree with your wording and your framing of the question or of the Sharia narrative. Okay, I put it differently. I'm very open about defending Sharia. I've had long debates on slavery. I've had long debates on the age of Aisha. I have a 2 hours long lecture online on my channel that I delivered in an arena in South Africa, in Cape Town. Anyone who wants to see my view on the age of Aisha radiallahu anha, please go on YouTube, type Adnan Rashid, age of Aisha. My lecture will come up. Watch it. Take a seat back. Sip pina colada. Okay. Have your cup of tea. Okay. Sip your coffee and watch. And you will, I guarantee you, not because it's me, because I brought some evidence to light that wasn't really appreciated before, to my knowledge. So
about
it is
what?
An interesting talk. Yeah. Yeah. About the age of Aisha. Yeah. So I've been a diehard, staunch defender of Sharia and Islamic principles. But I don't necessarily agree with your framing of the narrative and your wording. You can choose the wording you want. You can choose a particular pathway to defend Islam in your own way, in your own right. You know, no problem if you want to do it. You would be responsible, of course, for your words and for the style you choose. But I have
like the Sharia says that it's permissible for men to get married to girls as young as 9 years old, 10 years old.
Sharia doesn't say that.
Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam marry Aisha? At what age was she?
Sharia has certain principles. If you want to open this topic, which I'm not sure is because, again, if you want to listen to my views, I have delivered a 2 hours long lecture on this topic. We will be overkilling, as they say. You know, we'll be repeating points. So Sharia doesn't use that the language you just used. There is nothing in Sharia with that language.
Which Sharia, what language? 9 years old?
No. Sharia doesn't say young girls. It doesn't say that, right? Sharia says marriageable age. There are principles. There are shurut in Sharia that we follow. When does a girl become of age? When does she reach marriageable age? It's not necessarily a number. Okay, that's my take. That's why watch my 2 hours long lecture, and you'll get my perspective. No. So I'm justifying.
We have to be explicit. I mean, they have to be explicit about this because this is where every reformist, and you're not a reformist. I know
I'm
you.
I'm not a reformist
I know you,
by any stretch of imagination.
100%. I and my audience needs to know that Adnan Rashid is not a reformist. I'm saying this explicitly so no one has any confusion, but. As it happens to be the case, every reformist claims that they love the Sharia and they defend every dot of the Sharia. Every reformist actually says this.
No, actually, they don't say it. They don't say it. I know many reformists, they don't say that. They actually, they're quite explicit about
the rejecting
fact that
the Sharia.
They want to reform Islam. They have said it multiple times.
They say that Islam allows for reform. That the Sharia allows for reform. We're not going against Islam. We're doing that's why we're still Muslims. You have non-Muslims saying we want to reform Islam because we want to get
rid of it. We don't want to reform Islam. Islam is the most civilized way of life humankind has ever experienced, in my opinion. It is the most progressive way of life, and we can show that with evidence. We can show that with reasoning, with rational arguments. And I've been doing that for the last 20 years. So I've had long discussions on this again and again, I emphasize. So my view is very clear on this. There's no point probing my mind anymore because my view is very clear on this. Yes,
it's not clear to me.
Okay, then perhaps you need to go back and listen to me again. rewind the talk or this conversation. Once we are finished, and listen to me again where I said that I stand by every single dot of Sharia, okay? Any verse of the Quran, any hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, or anything from the prophetic tradition that's authentically proven, I stand by it on my life.
Do you think it's authentically proven that the Prophet ﷺ married Aisha when she was 6?
No, betrothal took place at 6. Again, the framing of the narrative is incorrect. The way you put it is this is how Islamophobes like to put it. 6 years old. Muhammad married a 6 years old. This is a lie. He did not. The act, the betrothal, took place at 6. That doesn't mean in that culture it's perfectly normal, right? The question is, when did they come together? This is the question, right? And it's a very, very nuanced discussion. Again,
when was that?
Nine. Aisha radiallahu anha. This is Sahih al-Bukhari. It is very, very clearly stated. But again, at the same time, when we read all reports, we know she reached the age of puberty, right? She described herself in Sunan al-Tirmidhi that I was a woman when I reached nine. Now, what does that mean? I was a woman. By those standards, when people were living in the 7th century Arabia, let's say, okay, what does a woman mean? And most certainly, it meant when girls reach the age of puberty by menstruating, when they have their menstrual cycle, or when they start to show physiological signs of womanhood, right? And this is exactly how most cultures in the world up to the 19th century did things. This is why the age of marriage in Britain, according to the English law, according to the commentaries on the English law by William Blackstone, the age of marriage in Britain was minimum was 7. And this is very, very well acknowledged. Okay, in some states in the US, it was 10. In other, for example, the state of Delaware, quite late into the 20th century, the age of consent or age of marriage was still 7. Now, it is beyond most people today. It baffles them because they have never heard of anything like it. Today, this is not the norm in most human societies. People don't know what happened in the past. People don't even know what happened 50 years ago, right? So just because they are ignorant, just because they don't know what the norms were 100 years ago throughout the planet, it's their fault. They need to study. They need to educate themselves more. That's why me and you having a conversation for a few minutes is not going to help us. My lecture, 2 hours long lecture on this topic, Adnan Rashid, the age of Aisha. And then I explain in detail what that meant in the 7th century, marrying a 9 years old, okay? This was perfectly normal. No eyebrows were raised, okay? No eyelids were batted. No enemy of the Prophet ever used it as a slur against him. In fact, up to the 20th century, even Orientalists, die-hard enemies of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, never used this against him. Rather, they defended him. In some cases, they said, yeah, that's the norm. This is what's happening in our societies, okay? People like William Muir, who was a polemicist in the 19th century, who was based in India, a political agent of the British colonial rule. He wrote a huge biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in 4 volumes. He didn't have a word to say about this because he knew what was the law in Britain at the time. Marriageable age was 7. So we can go on and on and on and on explaining, but this is a long discussion. Again, if anyone who wants to know my view on this in detail, to my lecture, welcome.
Yeah, I appreciate your clarification. I hope everyone goes and subscribes to your channel and watches that video. We just have to be clear because there are efforts to change the law. Like you're talking about local customs, local laws. They want to change the law in Muslim countries to ban the Sharia, basically, and to say that, no, we cannot have minor marriage. You have to be 18 years old for betrothal, like engagement, as you mentioned. And they want to depict the Sharia as this is outdated, this is old, this was fine 1,400 years ago, it has no relevance now. So we, as du'at, have to be very explicit, and we have to say very clearly that, no, this is not outdated, this is the Sharia. And you cannot ban marriage according to the shurut, the conditions, biological maturity, as you mentioned, all the things that the Sharia does take into account. You have to be able to have minor marriage. You have to have these practices, and we're not going to be ashamed about them because this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam
said. I don't agree with that narrative and that language. Minor marriages. You are actually
minor saying, just means under 18.
No.
At the age of maturity.
Again, you know that, and you can explain that to me. But when you use that term without explaining, you are now using the language of the Islamophobes, minor marriage, because this is the slur. You know, language is very important. When you talk about concepts, language and framing of sentences is very important. Okay, you can give the wrong idea. When you say minor marriages, you know what comes to people's minds? 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old. But you just said that
the Prophet had engagement or betrothal to 6 years old.
Yeah, that was normal. Betrothal, engagement.
Betrothal.
In Arabia, Aisha, I don't know if you know this, Aisha was betrothed to another person called Jubair bin Mut'im bin Adi. Yes? At birth. At birth.
Yep.
This is a caveat you have to add when we discuss this. Again, I think we are just going around circle for no reason. Let's move on. Okay.
Yeah, so there's no problem. There's no problem with marriage. Fine, you don't want to use marriage. Nikah. Okay.
According to Islamic principles.
At 6 years old, at 9 years old, at 10, 11, 12. You don't want to use the word minor, but this is the ages. I'm being as explicit as possible. There's no problem with this. You agree?
I'm saying living in this day and age, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't advise Muslims to do it. Absolutely not. Because this has become controversial. It's not obligatory upon us to do it. Is it haram in Islam, for example, to marry a girl who reaches the age of puberty? Absolutely not. I'm making it very clear. When I say marriage, I mean marriage and living together. Okay? Betrothal is a very different question. We don't do that anymore. Even Muslims don't do that anymore. Most practicing Muslims in the world don't do that anymore because it's not obligatory. They don't have to do it. Okay?
No, this is a very common practice. It's on the news all the time. You have pictures in Yemen, you know, they're engaging in this practice in many countries within Africa, Ghana, Somalia, Sudan, Mali, they engage in this project. Bangladesh, Afghanistan, like just recently there was a big headline issue on BBC about this practice in Afghanistan because they want to portray Muslims as barbaric. So my problem is we shouldn't be apologetic about it. We should just affirm that this is not only is it something that the Sharia allows, this is actually wisdom because when you do ban the ability to get married in these ages, this is why you have widespread zina. You have widespread fornication from children that age.
I agree with your reasoning.
Look at all of this happening in all of these places. So actually, the liberal secular law is what should be seen as barbaric. That's what should be seen as outdated because it's causing widespread zina, widespread fornication. The addiction to pornography, the addiction to all kinds of vices is coming because you've cut off the halal that the Sharia allows. So not only are we not going to mince our words and be apologetic, we're going to stand firm and say, this is the solution that is needed. We need to bring back, you know, this practice to the West, actually. This is something that, not that we'll break the law, we're not going to break the law, but we advocate. Obviously, that's part of dawah. We have advocating for a higher moral standard. And we have to be clear about this because this affects the mindset of Muslims. We don't want to be apologetic and meek about our Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his marriages to the mothers of the believers and the Sharia, what all of the ulama of Islam have said, what all the schools of thought have said. We're not going to start apologizing and start mincing words.
I agree. Look, I agree with not compromising on our principles. But the way you frame the question or the way you sentence or the way you word your concerns or your ideas, I don't agree with that. Minor marriage. We don't agree with that. I don't agree with minor marriages, okay? Because it comes with a lot of connotations, ideas in the mind, okay? I don't agree with that language. I would put it as follows, that Islam has principles that basically stipulate for us how to get married, okay? Islam has put down principles and conditions when a person can get married, to who a person can get married, at what age, at what point. I would frame it like that. Just to jump into the trap of the Islamophobes, those who are trying to do exactly what you're trying to fight, okay? You are actually walking into the trap when you use their language, their framing, because they're saying it's Muslims believe in minor marriages. They believe in child marriage. We don't. We don't believe in child marriage. In fact, we ask them, how do you define child? So again, this conversation we shouldn't be having because we agree on principles that we should defend Sharia. We should not compromise on our principles. But how we frame, how we sentence, how we structure our sentences, how we word our ideas is very important so that we don't give the wrong idea. So I don't agree with your wording. You don't have to agree with my wording. And that's it. The word goes on.
What if someone said like the khilafah is outdated or the hudud are outdated? Is that like the proper wording or would you say that you'd find that offensive? Like what is your take on those issues? Khilafah is outdated. Hudud are outdated.
Hudud are not outdated because they are a purely Islamic concept. Okay, young marriages were not an Islamic concept only. Young marriages were practiced across the board, throughout the planet, for a very long time, from the very inception of humanity all the way up to the 20th century. Even to this day, there are countries that have lower age of consent. They have lower ages of marriage, okay? So this was a global human phenomenon, okay? Hudud are an Islamic phenomenon.
You have these practices in other cultures. Other cultures have lashing, corporal punishment, execution
They don't call them hudud. They don't call them hudud. We call them hudud. Hudud, the word hudud comes from the Quran, hududullah. Okay, so we stand by hududullah wherever we are. We don't care. Okay, we don't compromise on them.
They're saying the practice. So the people who are criticizing Islam and the reformists, they say, fine, call it whatever you want. But marriage under the age of 18 is barbaric. Corporal punishment, lashing or stoning or execution for apostasy. This is barbaric. So it's not just about wording, right? It's about the principle.
To hell with these people. They don't teach us our way of life, our deen. Let's move on to the next topic. I'm very clear on this, that I believe in every dot, every word of Sharia. I don't believe in changing it or compromising on it. Or apologizing for it unashamedly. I am a fully Sharia compliant defender. I'm not Sharia compliant myself necessarily. I'm a weak human being. I'm a Muslim. But when it comes to Sharia as the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I stand with it completely. I don't compromise on it. But how I defend it is a completely different matter. It's different to your method. I don't have to agree with your method and your wording. So let's move on.